again. Why don't we give God a great praise today? Can we do that? Can we give it like we really mean it? All right. How many is glad to be in God's house with God's people today? Let's give God one more hand clap of praise, one more shout. He's worthy of all glory, power. All power is given to him today. Amen. You can be seated. Sometimes we got to shout these cloudy days away, right? Sometimes you can feel when church is on a cloudy day, people want to sleep in a little bit. God's always worthy, whether it's sunny outside or where it's cloudy outside. God's worthy of praise, all right? All right. We're continuing Game Changers today. And has anybody enjoyed this series? Hope it helps somebody. And we started talking about that the most important game changer you can have in your life is to be submitted to God, to be under his lordship, and to be right with him and to draw close to him. That anything you're seeking in your life, it has to start with that. You have to know who Jesus is. And then last week we talked about grace, that grace is the greatest game changer we can have because grace is how we even find God. And it's everything that we have, every breakthrough that we're going to experience is by the grace of God, which is undeserved favor to us. And this week, I'm going to kind of compile a bunch of game changers into one text and one story that we're going to read about today. So let's get to it. And the first game changer I want to bring to you today is prayer. How many knows that prayer is a game changer? That prayer can change circumstances. It can change situations. It can change people. Prayer is our lifeline to God. It's our connection to God. And if you're going to receive something from God, if you're going to receive a breakthrough, a change in your circumstance, you are going to have to learn how to pray. You're going to have to know how to pray. And you don't have to be a professional at it. You don't have to know all the right words. You just have to have a hungry heart that wants to communicate to God, and God will respond. God responds to prayer. And today I want to give you an example of a breakthrough prayer that a man named Jehoshaphat prayed in the Old Testament. But breakthrough prayers are not normal prayers. How do you know is that sometimes you don't have time for normal prayers? Oh, come on, somebody. There are times in your life where you can't say, lay me down to sleep. Take the Lord, take my soul to keep, however it goes. When you really think about it, that's a really scary prayer, wouldn't it? Like your mom texts you in and she's like, now I lay you down to sleep and pray the Lord your soul to keep, like you might die during the night. When you're six, that's kind of scary. But anyway, there comes times in your life where you have to pray breakthrough prayers, where you have to get passionate, you have to pray with energy, and you have to pray with faith. Anybody ever had to pray a breakthrough prayer? Like, God, I need you to move in this situation. I need something to happen right now because I'm at the end of my rope and I don't have any more resources. The only hope I have is you. That's what a breakthrough prayer is called. And you need to pray breakthrough prayers in private. You need to pray breakthrough prayers in public. That we have prayer meetings, we have prayer time, and that's a time that we connect with God. And there are times when you need to have friends gather around you and pray over you. And we see all of this in the story we're going to read today. And this man, Jehoshaphat, he was the king of Judah in the land of Israel. And armies were coming to surround he and his people. And it looks bleak, it looks hopeless, and he prays a breakthrough prayer. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, he said, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Minuites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. And some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Eden beyond the sea, and behold, they're in En-Gedi. How many has ever had a great multitude come against you? How many has ever had, it looks like metaphorically speaking, if you could look out your window, that there is a vast army surrounding you to take you out, that it's just one problem after another, or it's just one problem that won't go away, that's threatening, that Satan is using to discourage you. That's what Jehoshaphat is experiencing right now. It looks hopeless. And look what he did. It said, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. It's okay to feel fear. It's okay to be afraid, but it's what we do with that fear that matters. Look what he does. He set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. All right, so I want to give you 5 points today of a breakthrough prayer that we see what Jehoshaphat does. And the first thing that he does is that he focuses on God and not the problem. He sees the problem. He's afraid of the problem. But he doesn't sit in a chair and talk about the problem. He doesn't gather all of his advisors and they talk about how hopeless the situation is. The first thing he does is talk to God. And I want to tell you today, prayer is not the last resort. For too many of us and too many times in my life, prayer is the last resort. We try to do everything we can first, and then we'll pray. What I want to tell you, the first thing you should do is pray. Everybody say, pray first. The first time, the first hint of that problem in your life, bring it to God. Because you're just going to frustrate yourself if you're relying on your own strength and your own understanding. So the first thing he does is focus on God. And how does he focus on God? He said, everybody, let's fast. And that's another game changer. I want to tell you that if you can learn to fast and pray, those two go together. You see, in the scriptures, they brought a man came to the disciples, and he had a son that was possessed by devils. And the disciples tried to pray it out of him, and they couldn't. And Jesus came to them, and he said, bring the child to me. And he rebuked the devil, and it left. And the disciples said, how do you do that? He said, this comes by what? Nothing but prayer and fasting. Here's what fasting does. It draws us away from the world and draws us closer to God and helps us focus on God and not the problem. It's not about starving ourselves. It's not about proving something to God. It's about drawing closer to him so we can focus on him. Fasting is a game changer. Every year, the beginning of the year, we do 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I really want to encourage you. I know it's only August, but start planning now to get involved in that. Why? Because I've talked to too many people that have come to me and tell me, Pastor, I've had great victories this year. I've had battles in my life that I've been fighting for years. Prayer's answered. And it all goes back to that 21-day fast. I want to tell you, just try it. Just try it. You don't have to, you know, not eat anything for 21 days. There's different kind of fast, and we'll talk about that. But I want to tell you, put God to the test in that area of life. And I want to tell you, you'll see things happen. Fasting is a game changer. So the first thing he does is he has all of his attention on God by fasting and prayer. And I want to show you what he prays here when he prays. In verse 6, he says, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. All right, so what he does is he reminds God, and he reminds himself of God's greatness. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of God's greatness. He says, God, there's nobody like you. All power is in your hand. You cause kingdoms to rise up and to fall down, and nothing is too hard for you. I want to remind somebody of the God you serve today. We serve a great and powerful God this morning. There's no one like him. There's nobody beside him. There's nobody before him. There'll be nobody after him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and there's nothing that's too hard for him. Does anybody believe that today? We serve a great God. You think of the most powerful person you know. Think of the greatest person you know, and they're just like an ant in God's presence. God can change any circumstance you have in your life with just a flick of his wrist. Whatever it is that you're seeking today, you need to remind yourself of God's greatness. The God that created everything we see. The God that's keeping the earth on rotating, and the planets and the solar system in action and in order. That same God, do you really think that cancer is too hard for him? Do you really think that a broken marriage is too hard for him to put back together? Oh, somebody preach with me today. Give me one of those good Sunday morning amens, all right? That God is a great God. So the first thing he does when he sees this army approaching him, he said, I'm going to remind myself of who God is. My God's greater. My God's greater than cancer. My God's greater than governments. My God's greater than armies. My God's greater than technology. My God's greater than anything in the world today. That's the God I serve. And he's got the whole world in his hands. Somebody thank him this morning. He's got it all under control. Then he reminds himself of God's power. Verse 7, he says, our God, did you not drive the inhabitants of this land before you, before your people Israel? Didn't you drive out the people that were occupying the promised land? He reminds God of what he's done in the past. He reminds himself of what God's done in the past. And we just sung about it. Sometimes you need to remind yourself of what God has done in the past. Has he ever fought any battles for you? Has he ever answered any prayers for you? Well, I want to tell you, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. There's more where that came from. God's not going to fail you now. Remind yourself of God's power. And then he reminds God. Would you pay attention? He reminds God, not himself. He reminds God of his promises. He says in verse 7, and give it forever. You gave this land forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. You see, God promised Abraham the land, didn't he? So Jehoshaphat says, God, wait a minute. You're allowing these armies to come in to the land you promised us. You know what he's doing? He's saying, God, this is all on you. We've done all that we can do. God, are you really going to let these pagan nations come into the land that you've promised your people and trample us? And here's times you've got to remind God of his promise. Lord, you promised to never leave me or to never forsake me. God, you've promised, Lord, that your name is a strong and mighty tower, that the righteous can run in and be saved. Come on, somebody. God, I'm claiming every promise over my life. God, I don't know what I'll go through today. I don't know what I'll go through tomorrow, but I'm hanging on to the promise. I'm hanging on to the promise that I will be saved. I'm hanging on to the promise, oh God, that you have me in your hand, that you'll never leave me, never forsake me. Lord, that I can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and you're going to move on my behalf if I have faith. You got to remind God of his promises sometimes. You got to remember, God promised this. God said he would do this. He never told me I would do this. He told me he would do this. Then the next thing he does is this. He asks God for a breakthrough. What's the word of God say? You have not because what? You didn't ask for it. I want to ask you, if you're not seeing breakthroughs in your life, maybe you're not asking for it. Pray big prayers. The things that God will do in your life are only as big as your prayer circles. So some of us, we need to let our imagination run wild with our prayers. Ask God for big things. Ask God for a specific breakthrough. Look what he says in verse 10. He says, but now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, in other words, the enemy, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them, and they did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. And then look what he does. He says, our God, will you not judge them? In other words, that's the breakthrough that he's looking for here. God, judge our enemies. Defend us. And you have to pray specific prayers sometimes. Now, so many times we just say, Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. And that's all fine and good. But there's times in a breakthrough prayer where you need to name some stuff. God, I pray you would change this job situation. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me in this specific area of my life. Lord, help me, God, in school. Lord, help me find the right mate. Lord, help us, God, have children. Lord, boy, you talk about answered prayer, breakthrough, wow. Be careful before you pray that one. Be very careful. Be very specific. One, two, three, those are very specific prayer. Be very specific. But you need to be specific with God. Why? Because he answers specific prayers. He doesn't answer general prayers. He wants to answer. Why? Because when he answers specifically, it shows his relationship to you and it shows his power. And so he says, God, judge our enemies. Judge those people that are coming against me. Give us a complete victory. Jehoshaphat has a specific need, and he gives God that specific need. So the second characteristic of a breakthrough prayer is this. Let God know that you are powerless and you need his help. God, I have no other options. There is no plan B. God, if you don't move, I have no hope. God, if you don't change the situation, we don't have any doctor to go to. We don't have any financial advice. There's no bank. You are our only hope. In verse 12, he says, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. He's at a place of complete helplessness. And here's what I found in life. You know what you have to have a breakthrough? You have to have a problem. You have to have a problem. And you know what God will do? Some of you are maybe angry at God. You're in a state of confusion. Well, I want to tell you, a problem is just a recipe for a breakthrough. And so God's going to give you a gift in the form of a problem. And he's going to test you. And through that, he's going to strengthen your faith. This is all throughout the Word of God. Whenever God wants to strengthen our faith, he gives us a problem. And here's what happens. When we get to the point where there's absolutely nothing that we can do, we've done all that we can do, he says, now I can work. Because Jehoshaphat said, God, we're powerless, but our eyes are on you. And I want to tell you today, you're powerless. There's nothing that you can do on your own to fix your problem. And if you think you can fix your problem, that's your problem. Come on, CR people, what's the first step? What's the first step, CR people? I'm powerless. Come on, powerless over our addictions, and I didn't hear the rest of it. But that's for all of us. We're powerless. God, our eyes are on you. God, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't fight this battle on my own anymore. God, I don't have any problems. I don't know. I've contacted all the people I can contact. I've gone to all the doctors that I can go to. God, this problem is in your hands. And here's what faith sometimes means. Sometimes faith means doing absolutely nothing. Sometimes faith is just sitting there, throwing our hands up and say, God, I'm giving it to you. I fasted, I've prayed, I've talked to all the people I can talk to, but you are my only hope in this situation. And you know what? Jehoshaphat had this attitude, but not only did he have this attitude, but the people with him had this attitude. It says in verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and their children and little ones stood there before the Lord. In other words, entire families, they gathered together. And they looked out at this enemy, and they didn't gather their weapons. They weren't running around trying to figure out some great scheme to defeat these people. Jehoshaphat said, let's just get everyone out here, and let's just wait on God. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. I want to tell you today, some of you today, you just need to wait on God. You've done all that you can do. And here's what I found in my life, that usually when I try to fix the problem, when I try to fix the problem first before I pray, when I try to fix the problem before I fast, when I try to fix the problem on my own ingenuity, I end up making it worse. You see, if they would have just grabbed weapons and tried to run out against this enemy, they would have been slaughtered. But you know what they did? They said, you know what, let's gather the church together, let's gather the families together, and let's just go out, let's keep our eyes on God, let's focus on him, and wait for him to do his thing. Dad, you don't have to have all the answers for the family. Mom, you don't have to have all the answers for the family. I, as a pastor, I don't have to have everyone's answer. And remember, what's last week's game changer? Grace. That God will give us uncommon, undeserved favor. And there's time where we just have to wait and we have to sit the storm through for God to show up and to show out. And if you just wait upon the Lord, I promise you, he will show up and he will show out. Can somebody say amen? He will fight the battle. So the third thing that Jehoshaphat does in this breakthrough sequence is this. He listens to what God has to say. He has everybody stop what they're doing, and they just sit and wait for what God has to say. Some of us, we can't hear what God has to say because we're too busy trying to fix the problem. But we have to hear what God has to say, and God will speak to us. It says in verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, and he said in verse 15, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So they all stop, and then God raises up a prophet. God puts the word of the Lord in this prophet to give them direction. And here's what I want to tell you. If you stop and you listen, God will give you direction on how to fight the battle and how to win the battle. And God does that through a number of ways. He speaks to us through friends. He speaks to us through godly voices, through pastors, through friends, and other people that are trained in the word of God, who have an ear for the voice of God. But I want to tell you this. More likely than not, the word from God that you're wanting to hear is in your Bible. That's why it's so important that you know the word of God, because that is how you win battles. That's how you hear the voice of God. That's how you distinguish whether something is from God or not. And that's why it's so important that you be in the word of God, because some of us, we're looking, God, just give me a sign, right? God, I pray, give me a sign in the sky. God, you know, give me the face of Jesus in my toast tomorrow morning so I can know. And you know what he's done? He's given you the word of God in your Bible. Never, ever before in human history have we had so much access to the word of God. And so many of us, we just ignore it. And we're asking for God, give me signs, talk to me, speak to me. And the whole time he's like, just let me out of here. I want to talk to you. And that's why you need to have a methodical game plan to read the word of God. And here's what I found in my life. Every time that I'm going through a battle in my life, he speaks to me through friends, through other godly voices, but more commonly, he speaks through his word, and he'll confirm things through his word. And if you can't hear the word of God, if you can't hear the voice of God, you're fighting on your own. It's a lost cause. You have to be plugged in. Prayer, God speaks to us through prayer. God speaks to us through those seasons of fasting, and God speaks to us. The word of God is a game changer. How did Jesus defeat Satan and the temptations? Through the word of God. And if Jesus had to use the word to defeat Satan, you're going to have to use the word to defeat him in your life. The word of God is a game changer this morning. Somebody thank him for his word. How many love the word of God? How many know it's sharper than a two-edged sword? And so he listens to what God says. But I want you to look and see what God tells Jehoshaphat about his breakthrough. All right, the first thing he tells him is in verse 15. He says, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Number one, chill out. Relax. Remember we said last week, you got this? Well, the reason you got this is because God's got this. And God's got you. And if we really believe that, We don't have to live life anxious. We don't have to live life in perpetual insecurity. God's got me in the palm of his hand. He's not going to let go. There's nothing that can pluck me out of his hands. How many is thankful for the security of God's grace and for God's love? Look at your neighbor and say, chill out. Relax. God's about to do his thing. Some of us are worried about this culture that's going crazy. Some of us are worried about our country. Some of us are worried about maybe things that are going on in your family. I want to tell you, just chill out and watch God do his thing. He's got some big prayers that he's going to answer in these last days. He's going to show his power mightily and forcefully. Somebody thank him for it. How many believe that? You see, because how we act reveals our faith. If I really believe that he's God of all creation, if I really believe that he's as great as what we shouted about a few minutes ago, there's no reason I should be anxious. Because he's got me. Then the next thing he tells him is, again in verse 15, he says, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. And here's the thing, if you think the battle's yours and you think you have to do it all, yeah, you're going to be anxious and you're going to be worried and you're going to be scared. But once you know this battle's not mine, it's God's. He's got my back. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what problem I'll face, but I know God's with me. And it's not my battle to fight, but I will win it. It's not my battle to fight, but I will win it. Why? Because God has me. God is behind me. God is for me. And if God is for us, who can be against us? What is cancer to come against me? What is that family situation? What is the job situation? God is for me. So it's God's battle. Remember last week we talked about grace. And grace is this, it's God's battle. My sin, he's already taken care of it on the cross. All I have to do is walk in the victory he's already won. Any problem I'm facing today, it was all won in the power of the cross and the blood that was shed on Calvary by a perfect Savior. Somebody thank him for that blood today. And this is so important. This is so important. God is not expecting you to do what only he can do. God is not expecting you to do what only he can do. You see, their grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. And there comes times in our life where we've done everything we can do. God asks us to pray. God asks us to fast. He asks us to believe. But after that, he does not expect us to do what only he can do. Only God can heal. Amen? I can't heal. Only God can put broken marriages back together. Only God can bring healing in your life that you're looking for. He's not looking for you to do what only he can do. The next thing he tells them is this. He says, take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. So the next thing that he says about their breakthrough is this. Keep doing what you're doing. He says, take your positions. How many knows that we all have a place in the kingdom of God? We all have a place in God's house. In other words, he tells them, don't get flustered. Don't quit coming to church. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't give up your ministry. Don't give up loving other people. Don't give up serving other people. Take your positions. Don't stop what you're doing in my kingdom. Why? Because that's how God works. That's how God works through us. God has a gift for every person, and we want every person to find that. And then he says, wait and watch what I do and see what I do. Wait and watch and see what I do. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Verse 17, go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And so we have to have a spirit of anticipation when we're praying for a breakthrough. And that is this. I wonder how God, here's the question you need to ask. I wonder how God is going to pull this off. Anybody else ever been there? God, I don't see any good happening here. God, I don't see any hope here. But like Peter said, Lord, nevertheless, at your word, we'll go to the deep. And that's how you have to be in your faith, is I just wonder how God is going to turn this situation from a curse to a blessing. Anybody have that kind of faith today? Whatever problem you're facing today, I wonder how God is going to answer that prayer. You see, you don't need to manipulate the situation. A lot of us are control freaks. And you know what a control freak is? It's a God complex. You think you have to be God over your family. You think you have to be God over your coworkers. You think you have to be God. Well, some of us think we have to be God here at church. That if I don't do this, and if it's not done just the way I want to, then it's all going to fall apart. I want to tell you, here's a big, big revelation, all right? This is going to be worth the price of admittance. You aren't God. You can't change people. You can't change the situation like you think you can. And so when we try to manipulate the situation, we inevitably, we're going to make it worse. And so the definition of a breakthrough is this: only God can do it. Only God can bring the change. Only God can turn it around. And if you're here today, I want to tell you, God can do it. Matter of fact, why don't we lift up our hands over this place right now? Why don't we just give it to him? Why don't you say, God, give me a breakthrough. God, give me, Lord, a change. Whatever the situation is, maybe name it right now. God, I need a change in this area of my life. God, I can't do it. God, I am at the end of my rope. Thank you, Jesus. But I want you to see another game changer. And this story is loaded with them. This is a great one. Number four, thank God in advance of the answer with praise and worship. See, you need to thank God in advance of the breakthrough. You need to thank God before he does it. You know, if I called you and you had a large bill that needed to be paid, and I called you and I said, hey, the check's in the mail for the exact amount, would you thank me when the check cleared, or would you thank me when I called? You would thank me when I called. Why? Because you just have faith that I'm an honest guy and I wouldn't lie to you. I want to ask you, is God a liar? If God said he's going to do something, will he do it? That's why we need to thank him in advance. That's why we need to say, Lord, I praise you ahead of the miracle. I praise you, Lord, before the car comes. I praise you before the house comes. Lord, I praise you before the next job opportunity arises. Why? Because I have faith that you are the kind of God that you say you are. You have the character that you say that you have, and you will do what you said you will do. I wonder if somebody can praise him in advance today. Stand on your feet. Whatever the breakthrough you just asked for, praise him in advance. Thank him in advance. Jesus, we know you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. Lord, we know you're able, you're willing. And Lord, we just want to thank you, God, before you cure the cancer. We want to thank you before you heal my body. Amen. Look what he does. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, and his love endures forever. I want you to think about this. These people aren't sitting in padded pews on a cloudy Sunday morning in central Illinois in relative security. They're in the battle of their life. They got ISIS surrounding them, and the stake of their family, stake of their homes, of their nation, is hanging in the balance. And I want you to see what Jehoshaphat does. He says, all right, here's what we're going to do. And I'm not speaking literally, but Jasa, go get on the keyboard. Jeff, go get on the bass. Round up some singers. Find some drummers. And you guys go out in front of the army and you start playing. That would give General Patton a heart attack. Am I right? But here's what Jehoshaphat says. He says, we're going to praise God before this battle. And worship is a game changer. If you're going to see breakthroughs in your life, you need to know how to worship God before the battle's won. You need to learn how to worship God before, during, and after the battle. Amen? Do we have any worshipers here today? Do we have any people that your praise... Oh, come on. Do we have any people that your praise isn't predicated on what you're going through, but it's predicated on just who Jesus is? Come on, somebody. Do we have any radical worshipers that, like Paul and Silas, you might be in a jail at midnight, but you're going to sing praises to God. You're going to tell him how wonderful it is. Lord, your love endures forever. Lord, your love isn't predicated on my situation. It's not predicated on my faithfulness. Lord, it's simply based on who you are, God. And I believe that you're fighting our battles for us. You're going to win this for us, God. We're going to praise you in advance. We're going to praise you during, and we're going to praise you after. We're not going to forget who did it. We're not going to forget who brought us out. We're not going to forget who won the battle for us. All glory, honor, and power belongs to him. Somebody praise him today. You see, some of the most powerful moments of my life is when I look around here on Sundays and I see people who I know are going through the battle of their life, but they have their arms raised high. You hear a shout coming from their mouth. You see them giving God the praise that he is so deserving of. And I've seen time after time that he does it again. They get in some of the worst situations and you wonder, are they going to make it out of this one? But they just keep praising. They just keep coming to church, entering into his courts with thanksgiving, and enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. That's how that you have to be during the fight of your life. You have to praise God in advance. Come on, somebody, today. So they begin to verbalize, and that's what worship is. It's verbalized faith. Some of us need to get our song back. In the battle of your life, in the fight for the breakthrough, you've lost your worship, you've lost your song. Well, I want to tell you, that's not the time to lose your worship. That's not the time to lose your song. That's the time to find it. Why? Because that's how the battle's won. That's how you're going to get out of this situation, is when you come in here and you lift up your hands. You know what you're doing? You're saying, God, the power's yours. The battle's yours. The glory's yours. It's not about me, God. It's all about you. And when we reach that point, that's when God can start to work and start to do things. So Jehoshaphat, he put the singers in front of the army. You know, I was preparing this, and I thought of a scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal. In other words, they're not natural. But mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, for breakthroughs. That there's just something that happens. And I know that some of us are maybe new in this whole lifting hands thing, this whole shouting thing and dancing thing. You know, that's all new to you. I just want to tell you, it's not about you. Worship's not about you. It's about God. And there's something that happens when we begin to praise him. Walls begin to fall. Things begin to change. Why? Because that's how we give the battle to God. We begin to worship him. And sometimes we have to thank God years before the breakthrough is realized. Sometimes we have to praise him for years before the victory is realized. But there's times in our life where we have to put the choir before the army. There's times in our life where we have to put the praise team before the army. God works and he's enthroned on the praises of his people. And here's what happens. The more we praise God, the bigger he gets. The more we magnify God, he becomes bigger than the problem. Has anybody ever been in a season of your life where it looks like you are against the ropes, it looks like there was no hope, but you come in here on a Sunday morning and we begin to praise God, we begin to worship God, and something happens. God becomes bigger than the problem. And we start to believe just maybe he will do it again. Just maybe God will begin to answer some prayers. Just maybe. See, sometimes in life all we have is a maybe, but God will work with that. Sometimes we just have that little mustard seed of faith, but God will work with that if we just worship him and give him the glory. And here's what happened. As they begin to sing in praise, verse 22, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering after the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. I want you to catch what happened. When they began to sing, when they began to praise and worship, the enemy got confused and they started fighting one another and they killed each other. You see, here's what happens. When we begin to praise God in the middle of the battle, when we begin to worship God when we shouldn't be worshiping, it confuses the enemy, and they don't know what to do. Every time you come into God's house, and you shouldn't be here, maybe it's something that you personally did. Maybe the enemy said, you know what, you shouldn't come to church today the way you sinned this week. Well, I want to tell you, even when you sin, that does not disqualify you from worshiping. Matter of fact, you need to praise God more for his grace. You need to praise God for his forgiveness. Whatever you're going through, and the devil is going to try to do everything he can to get you to stay home. He's going to bring something on Saturday night or Sunday morning, won't he? He'll throw every obstacle to try to get you from getting here. But when you come in here with your hands raised, and when you sing unto God, it confuses the enemy, and he doesn't know how to stop a worshiper. And God begins to confuse things, and God begins to work on your behalf. Why? Because he is going to fight the battle. He is going to win the battle. That's why it's so important that we know how to worship him, that we know how to call upon the name of the Lord, that we know how, when we need a breakthrough, to pray a breakthrough prayer and have a breakthrough worship session. Worship is a game changer. So I want you to see what else they do here. And that is this. They go out, verse 20. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. All right, first of all, that's a breakthrough. That's a breakthrough. That's a game changer. When everything that's been fighting you, one day you look out and it's all dead because you outlasted it and God fought the battle for you. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Wow. You see that this breakthrough was so great, they were tired from collecting all the loot as a result of this victory. And I want to tell you, there's going to be a treasure and there's going to be victory on the other side of the breakthrough. I believe that God has a breakthrough for this church. I believe that there's treasure. You know what the treasure is? Souls. It's people. I believe that there's some people out there today that have yet to repent. They've yet to make Jesus Lord of their lives. They've yet to experience baptism, but they're coming. They're coming. I believe that there's finances out there. You know what? There's nothing wrong with believing God for finances. Some people have taken it to extreme, and that's all they talk about, and we need to avoid that. But I want to tell you that there's nothing wrong with believing. God has financial victories for me. God has provision for me. God has the funds for my kids to go to college. God has money for the vehicles that we need. God has money for the facilities that this church needs. I wish somebody could believe with me today. There's a breakthrough coming for the families of this church. There's a breakthrough coming for this church. Why? Because God has shown us favor and we have a work to do for him. So the first thing is that the result of a breakthrough prayer, which number five is this, expect God to turn battles into blessing. And so they took all this equipment and number one, the result of a breakthrough prayer is more blessings than you can count. More blessings than you can fathom. Because here's what Satan's going to try to do. He's going to try to intimidate you like he was doing to these people. He's going to surround you because he's going to do everything he can to keep you from experiencing the breakthrough because he knows on the other side of the breakthrough is more favor than you've ever experienced in your life, more blessings than you've ever experienced in your life. And so what he's going to try to do is discourage you and try to get you to give up on God. But I want to tell you, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare stop fasting. Don't you dare stop praying. Don't you dare stop worshiping. Why? Because someday there's going to be a breakthrough. Well, Pastor, when will it be? I don't know. It might be after we die. But you know what? That's a pretty good breakthrough. Because I'm going to be with Jesus. And he said, in my Father's house, I'm going to prepare for you, and there's many mansions, there's streets of gold, there's all the provision that you need, there's everything that you could ever want, but that's not why we serve him. Jesus is enough. But you know what? He also brings blessings. But I believe this, we're going to see some breakthroughs in this life. I've seen them before. And I'm going to see him again. Has God blessed anybody? Has anybody here today seen a breakthrough in your lifetime? I know it's true. So here's what happens. Number one, the results of a breakthrough is number one, we have more blessings than we can handle. First of all, salvation. That's a blessing I can't handle. That's a blessing I can't win. That's a blessing I can't earn. So that alone, if God never does anything else, that's enough to praise him. But here's what he does. He does even more than that. Overflowing blessings. The second thing is this. When you have a breakthrough, it'll make you love God more and make you worship him more. Verse 26 says, on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. And that is why it's called the valley of Barakato this day. Then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. And I want you to catch this. It says that they returned from the valley of Baraka. You know what Baraka means? Blessing. God took the valley of the battle and he turned it into a valley of blessing. Those things that you are fighting today, I want to tell you, there's going to come a day and a time where you say, I thank God that he brought that problem in my life because it was in that valley that I learned that he is the God of both the hills and the valleys, and that that valley that was the battle is a valley of blessing because I came out stronger. I came out more full of faith. I came out more blessed than I would have if he would not have let me walk through that valley. And here's what we have to do. On the other side of the breakthrough, we can't forget how the battle was won. The battle was won by God. And that's why we praise him more. Some of us, there's a tendency, the longer we're in this thing, the more our praise just kind of tapers off. And there's these new converts who are crazy for God and they're worshiping with so much vigor. Why? Because this is all new to them. Well, I want to tell you, if anybody should praise God more, it should be people that have seen breakthroughs, people that have seen God do the impossible for decades and for years. The more you know Jesus, the more you should praise him. The more you should worship him. The more you should have a song in your heart. Why? Because he's been proven to be faithful in your life. Has he been proven to be faithful, anybody, today? He's a faithful God. Not once has he forsaken us. Then I want you to see this. The results of a breakthrough, number one, more blessings than you can handle. Number two, you love God and worship him more. In other words, we go to a new dimension spiritually after a breakthrough, which that's what it's all about anyway. Then number three, people start noticing. People start noticing the favor of God on your life. People start noticing the change on your life. People start noticing the grace of God on your life. Verse 29, it says, the fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. I want to tell you that there's a breakthrough coming for some of you, and you're never going to fight that battle again. You're going to live in peace. Does anybody believe that God wants us to live in peace? God wants us to live in rest. There's a decisive victory coming my way. Here's what happened. The kingdoms around them heard about this battle, and they said, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but you don't mess with Judah, because God's hand's upon them. And I said, I want to send notice to the spiritual enemies that's been fighting this church. God's hand is upon us. God fights our battles. His blessing's on us. You need to think twice before you mess with God's people. You need to think twice before you mess with this family. You need to think twice before you mess with Celebrate Recovery. Why? Because we got the favor of God upon us. He's fighting our battles, and we're going to live in peace and total victory. Can we stand on our feet today? Let's clap our hands before God, and let's thank him. Oh, somebody thank him right now. Somebody shout to him. There's some breakthroughs coming my way. There's some battles. I'm going to win, and I'm never going to fight them again. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands all over this place. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you the battle. Lord, we love you today. God, you're holy, you're righteous, you're omnipotent, you're almighty. Nothing's too hard for you. The nations are just like a drop in the bucket.